What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast number 134, Fixing Water Stations. This week we have two guests, Casey Pyle from Corpus Christi ISD, about 5 years in the profession, and then Robert McFarlane. Robbie has been on here before when we were talking about coach and athletic trainer relationships, and he is representing Frio Hydration. He's been in the profession for about 5 years. So if you're watching live, whenever Shakira flips to Robbie, you'll see one of his...
Prototypes.
There you go. That's what I was going to say replica, but that's not right. So one of the prototypes for some of the new products that he's working on and working on fixing the hydration delivery problem that faces athletic trainers. So I am your host. I am Jeremy Jackson. We're missing a couple kids due to state testing, but Bob's over here on Twitter, and he's also helping monitor the chat room. So if you got questions there, using hashtag DSMB. Adela is looking at switching the cameras. Jess is on Ustream, so using the Ustream social feature there. And then we got...
Shakira, Gabby.
Matthew.
There we go. All right. SportsMedicineBroadcast.com is our website. FrioHydration.com is Robbie's website for some of the stuff that he's going to be talking about here. Hashtag and DSMB on Twitter for Bob. So he loves to interact and jump in there. All right. We'll start off with Casey. Matthew, go ahead.
Can you please tell us about yourself briefly?
My name is Casey Pyle. I'm an athletic trainer in Corpus Christi ISD, so it's a little bit far for me to get up to Houston for this. I went to undergrad at University of Houston, did my grad work at Texas Tech, been down at Carroll High School for the past 5 years in Corpus Christi.
All right. Same question, Robbie. Brief overview.
I'm at Klein High School right now. Been there for 4 years, and I also actually hail from the Coastal Bend there. That's pretty cool. Graduated from Odom High School and went down to school, down at college, down at A&M Kingsville. So he's from my neck of the woods, man. My dad actually graduated from Carroll High School. It's pretty crazy.
There you go.
Yeah. You probably know some people I know. Coach Pena still over there?
He is. His brother's here, too.
Oh, man. Yep. I was his athletic trainer in college. But anyhow, yeah. So I'm South Texas guy, kind of like him, and found my way to Houston.
All right. That'll work.
Here we are.
That'll work. All right. So really, I think Casey on Twitter or mentioned something about fixing water stations, and I was like, you know what, man, we were just doing the same thing. So then we came up with this topic. So I'm gonna go ahead and throw out I have a video that I made this morning that shows some of these things that we're gonna be talking about that I've done. It's a YouTube video. It's about 3 minutes long. It's on the homepage there at the Sports Medicine Broadcast, so you can check that out there. There's a link to that in the show notes. So I see these guys have been putting in some good work in the show notes here, so there should be lots of information in there for you. But without much further ado, I'm going to get right to... So one of the things that I love is run flat tires. So I see you, Robbie, there on your cart. You got the pneumatic tires, or the tires that you got to fill up with air. And so we've had those, you know, and those come standard on the Waterboy or the most of the other systems like that. I know the hydration station from WisTech has solid run flat tires.
Yes.
And so that's one thing I would definitely recommend. And I think in the show notes, I have a link to that on Granger. Is that what it is? Yeah, on Granger, some run flat tires. You'd obviously need to check the model. One thing I've noticed on those tires, some of them have hubs. What are they called? The bearings that are really deep, and they won't fit on the shaft that you have. So you really need to measure those, or you know, buy a couple different sizes, find what works, and then send the rest of them back or something like that.
Yes.
So run flat tires is one of my number one suggestions, because there's nothing worse than getting the cart halfway out there, or the kids pulling the cart out, not paying attention, knowing that the flat tire's flat, and then now the wheel's ruined because they've been pulling it on a flat tire. So, all right, thoughts on that? No, Casey?
I've got thoughts. I was just, it's hard. I can't see Casey here, so I didn't know. I can't get the visual cues here.
I agree Casey, with that. Ahead, some of ours are pneumatic. Some of ours are the never flats, and honestly, by the time when we get a new one or an older one that somehow got the pneumatics on it, when it eventually does go flat and won't air back up, then we replace it. We're cheap and don't fix it until we have to.
Well, I'll agree with that. What we have on here is actually a Tractor Supply special they had on tires, and they're not run flat. They're pneumatic. We have the same problem with pneumatic. You get them loaded up, and if you have a flat tire on one side or even low air pressure, your whole cart leans and it makes it difficult to pull. We know that. What I like, I love the run flat tires. They're probably my favorite tire out there. I haven't run into it yet, and maybe this is a question here. I don't know if y'all have or not, but what happens when the tread wears out? Y'all just throw a whole new tire on there? Or?
Haven't come up with that yet.
Because, I mean, they last a real long time. That, as far as I know, I've never had that happen. The only problem we do have is when the bearings. Some of the carts, I know, WizTech, they had the greasing, the place where you could use a grease gun.
Right.
And grease the bearings. I know this particular cart I'm using right here, it's a modified Kramer hydration. Well, that's kind of what it used to be. It's actually a bunch of different things combined. But these are just standard bearings. They go out. You got to switch the hubs out. $10-15 a tire. I mean, that's about what we pay when we get the pneumatic ones. Now, the run flats, those are fairly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 25. What do y'all pay for them? $25-30 a pop, something like that?
I think it's probably around $40. I don't know.
Maybe a little higher. Well, just the tire itself. Now, the whole bearing assembly, bracket, so on and so forth. Yeah, you're pushing $50.
So right here, just looking at the link that I put on Granger, it says $31 to $59. So you know,
it depends on your size.
But to me, it's worth twice as much as a pneumatic tire to not ever have to worry about airing them up, to not worrying about them being flat. So for me,
I would 100% agree. And actually, our carts, obviously, this was put together specifically to do a test run spring football. Once again, this is combined a whole bunch of different things. On our prototypes we're building currently, we have the flat free tires. I personally don't feel there's any other way to go. Now, I'll throw this out there. Do y'all ever use the slime? I know a lot of athletic training friends that I've had that they fill them tires with slime, and they've had pretty good longevity using that.
I have not used slime. I have it on like my bike tires.
Yeah.
It seems to work, but I haven't put it in there.
I've seen it used in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I tried it, but I didn't have much success with it. Like a bike tire, like Jeremy was saying, yeah, it worked out pretty good for about 2 weeks. But then it was all over on the bike tire. I'm not very good with slime.
I've heard it's messy. I personally never used it. It's just something that I've heard of athletic trainers using, trying to make the difference there. I don't know. The problem with tires to me more than anything, though, is, yes, pneumatic is a problem. Get run flat. And then their bearings. You've got to keep them greased up.
So another thing on that right there, we're talking about the bearings, is some of those carts, they come with the, like, just say that the bearing is about an inch and a half, or maybe an inch, and the shaft is like 2 inches, and then the bolt only covers about half an inch. So you have a half an inch of play in there. So that just wears out, it just wobbles and wears out the bearings.
I want to say on the back tires on this one here, I addressed that very issue.
Yeah, it looks like there's
four
or five washers.
Do you see how many washers I have back there? Yeah, I've probably got four washers on each side because I ran into the same issue. These tires were not original to that particular car. Mm-hmm. The other ones, actually, we aired them up. They were not overinflated, but we took them out to practice, and I guess they got hot, and we were standing there. It sounded like a gunshot. Boom! Everybody's freaking out, looking around, and the water boy, cow, whatever you want to call it, was leaning, and the tires just exploded. We don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So I put the new ones on there, and you're right. I had to put spacers back there to keep it from kind of get a little bit of that wobble out.
Yeah,
and grease everything up like crazy, man. Grease it up.
I don't ever grease them. Maybe I should.
There's some good stuff out there. There's some new stuff called 4X Ultra Lube. It's actually not your typical like WD-40 based type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's made from soy. It's like a soy oil. But I'm telling you, it's slick. It is slick. And it's safe for your hands. So if you get it on your hands, all that kind of stuff, it doesn't, you know, sometimes you get a lot of petroleum-based products. Those kind of wear on your hands a little bit. Sometimes maybe the kids shouldn't probably be messing with all that. I don't know. You know, sometimes we got to do what we got to do, right?
Yeah.
But that stuff, that 4X Ultra Lube, that stuff is slick, man. And I put it on all my bearings since December, and we've been doing pretty good with them.
All right. Casey, any other thoughts there about that?
I've never heard of that one. I've actually used the petroleum stuff. My dad actually is a diesel mechanic, so I steal all kinds of lubrication stuff from him that he uses on the big trucks, and it don't cost me a dime.
Well, yeah, there you go. WD-40, PB, Buster, what else out there? There's all kinds of lubricants.
I don't know that WD-40 is actually ideal lubricant for bearings, though, right? Because it needs to be thicker.
Yes, well, and that's, yeah. Do you ever use grease? I mean,
yeah.
Y'all ever use actual grease? Because actual grease, if you've got a nub on there, especially with the WizTech units, I know they used to have the, you could grease those bearings up. If you have that, then grease, obviously, best case scenario. I don't know if, We haven't used actual grease outside of, you know, the WD-40 and the other stuff.
Yeah. So, again, I think looking at the ones that I have in the show notes, the Granger ones, they do have the little nub for grease. So, again, find what works for you. Find what fits in your budget. But so definitely ways to take care of them there. I know you were talking about Tractor Supply for those tires. One of the things that I found is Harbor Freight. Harbor Freight is a lot less expensive than if you go to Home Depot or Lowe's, those mm-hmm. kind of things, you know, for tires or for miscellaneous parts. In my video, I showed a strap. I see you have the blue ratchet strap there hanging over the top.
Came with it, yeah. Kramer sends those standard.
Yeah, and so that we use it to keep it closed and keep it from wobbling so much, because one of the things that kids do all the time is they try and shake it, or they'll open it up and scoop ice into the coils, because mm-hmm. our chiller models, they have the coils, they go up. They're like in a, I don't know, if you were to take like a 2-liter Coke bottle and wrap copper around it, that's more or less what the coils look like. So if ice isn't inside of the coils, inside of the tubes, then it's really hard to stay cool. So
I actually got one of those coils in here.
You just laid it down. Bob, can you get that there?
Let it down. I think
hold it there for a second, Robbie. He's going to he's gonna zoom in there.
That's
there.
What you're talking about. They sit up, you know, like this.
Right.
And you got to fill it and all that kind of stuff.
And so in my video, I mentioned it. What I would love to see is, instead of it being coiled at all, like if it, when it comes out of the top and it comes out of the insert, what's going into there, uh-huh. if it was a 90 degree down and then a 90 degree, and then it just snaked back and forth, like basically covered the entire bottom, because that's where the ice is going to sit. So if all it does is snake back and forth along the bottom and then come back up the other side or the same side, and then, you know, with a 90 comes out like that. Because another issue with ice is that because you're throwing ice on top of it, you're always loosening those connections, you know, or breaking them. And Waterboy sends them with plastic quick connect things.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Got to give a shout out to Bill Weeson. He was probably the first one to figure that out, to say, hey, why are you putting them in coils all the way up? As your ice melts, you're only using this much of your coil to mm-hmm. cool the water. And he has a great design on his, I forget what he calls that unit, Max Cold, I believe it is, something like that. Anyways, he same concept, plug into your hose, but his coils run out into a PVC manifold, which pre-cools the water. Then he's got them laying down in the bottom. So as your ice and water melt, the coils are always under the ice and water. He has a great design. I think probably on the market today, as far as exactly what you want, he over at WizTech, he's got it figured out. That is something that I mimicked here on this one. What I did was, I had an old Waterboy unit, like Generation 1. When mm-hmm. I say old, like back in the day. And all I did was take out the copper coils, ring quick connects, and laid it down. Same concept, though. As the ice melts, we want more coils still staying cool. But you're right. The old Waterboy models, they had compression fittings. And those compression fittings, when they jiggle, water just sprays in here and fills up the whole dang cooler.
Yep.
So you've had that problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you've had that problem as well.
I've had that problem only once. I just tightened it back up, no problem. But I had never considered the laying the coil down thing. To me, it's genius.
Yes, and if you had a way, you can look at what Bill Weeson has over at WizTech. I know I'm plugging him a lot. He's a great guy. Love him to death. And he actually has given me a lot of advice where to go, kind of with Frio hydration. So, but what he does, he lays them down right in the bottom. And that's probably where we're going with our design as well, to lay them, coil them down in the bottom, or to somehow create a lot of space, but keep it all low so when the ice melts, you still have coils under the water. Yeah, there it is, the Coil Max.
Yeah, yeah. So that's almost exactly what I'm talking about. Is like I haven't seen this model at all, and so yeah. So again, we're talking about Bill Wisson at WizTech. He comes into the cooler with PVC pipe, so it's less fragile than the copper.
Mm-hmm.
And then down, that PVC pipe connects to the copper that runs along the bottom of the tube, which helps cool the water, which is exactly what I was saying. So all of the ice
connection is there. He uses that, it's just that poly tubing,
yeah,
to make that connection. So when he connects into the copper, that poly tubing flexes. It flexes just like what I've tried to do on mine here.
Yeah.
And we're going to do some type of format, and we've already got it worked out to have a jig to not only do it like he does, but expand it throughout the whole bottom of the cooler. So you're constantly, every square inch on the bottom is covered.
Get a little closer to the
Am
mic.
Am I getting too far back? I'm
yeah,
fading
you're too far
here.
Back. There.
I got you. Okay.
You get a little too excited. And
I get fired up, man. You know.
All right. So that's pretty cool. I'll have to check it out, and then I look forward to seeing the finished product.
We're
there.
Not far.
We're not far.
Not far.
All right. So at Harbor Freight, there's also lots of other things. You know, like the copper quick connects. I mean, not copper. The brass quick connects for the water hoses. So we have four chiller models, and one of the things is you always have to thread the hose on, and it just takes forever. So we just buy those quick connects like you would for an air compressor and those kind of things. And we find you can find those. I turned you off while you're doing that. And so yeah, so they fit on the water hose or the thing that comes out of the wall, the water hose, whatever it's called.
Spigot.
And so those things are really good. You can find those at Harbor Freight. You can sometimes find the water hoses themselves or the hose repair parts, but typically I go to Lowe's because it's easier to find exactly what I want. But we have a toolbox, like a $40 toolbox that we bought from Harbor Freight. It has a various assortment of tools because, of course, you can't fix anything if you don't have tools. So I think we actually have two of those toolboxes, one here and one across the street. And then they always have coupons if you ever get the newspaper. So check out Harbor Freight and see if
Harbor Freight getting some plugs today, man.
Hey, I like going there, and it's just one of those things you have to break the stereotype or the preset. Oh, if I need a tool, I have to go to Lowe's or I have to go to this place, or this place is a little less expensive, so let's just give it a shot
for something that is possibly going to get lost or broken fairly quick.
Mm-hmm.
In our world, and you know how that goes.
Yep.
God love them, but a football coach needs one to fix a helmet. Then what happens?
Yep.
Okay. So it walks. Harbor Freight, you're getting quality, but you're also getting it at a price that if it did walk, it's not going to kill us.
Exactly.
Need to holler at them, try to get some signage up in here.
Yeah, right. Right.
Nice thing on Harbor Freight, too, is they come up with them sell ads every week, and they're always got about 10 things that are dirt cheap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
May not be exactly what you want for the training room, but it might help you out fixing your car.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about, the sale ads. They got lots of good stuff there at Harbor Freight. So, again, there may not be one close to you, but I would check them out as a less expensive alternative.
Yes.
And, you know, Granger, I like their stuff. I think it's pretty solid, but it's hard to find stuff on their website if you don't know exactly what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've called them before, and they helped me find it, but it's, again, having to sit down and describe it and talk to them on the phone, whereas you're Harbor Freight, yeah, that's what I was looking for. Sometimes you just have to visualize the product before you know exactly what you're looking for. So check them out. And, again, I got a link there in the show notes to Harbor Freight. All right, so in my YouTube video that is about 3 minutes long that I posted on our website that I made today, it shows the hose reels that we have. We bought from Granger. Again, I have a link to those there in the show notes. So what we did is we went to our auto shop guys and said, hey, we want to mount this on here. Because I in my first attempt at really making anything, so I was very novice at building and constructing anything. I used like 2x4s and screwed them together to screw the hose reel off the back, and it was big and clunky and it just wasn't working. So then I took it to the auto shop guys and said, hey, you think you could hook us up here? And they welded a frame on there, you know, a nice solid supported frame. So check out the video on that to see that and get your guys or somebody you know to do that. You know, Robbie, I think, welds stuff himself. And Casey could probably take it to his dad, the diesel mechanic, and get that stuff done. But so hose reels are awesome for chiller models because we were always having to lay them down next to the cart, and then they ended up getting pinched, and mm-hmm. That causes holes, so you have to end up throwing them away. So
you remember those L pieces mm-hmm. that would fit up here on the
Water
on
Boys?
Water Boys had them. I know these came with some, but they were PVC. These are the Kramer units, but Water Boy, they would use a speed rail. And actually, athletic trainers, if you're ever trying to figure out if you need parts, and I know most of us have Water Boys or some type, this railing is called speed rail. And if you just do a Google search for speed rail, you can actually find a bunch of this aluminum piping, different fittings and things you can use to fix that up. Speed rail. But anyhow, they made a speed rail L that you would roll your hose up on. Then it would roll with the cart. Our problem with that was that the L that they would put on there, it would move. It would slide down, fall. Now our hose is dragging, so it ends up coming off. And then what do we do with the hose? Well, we probably leave it out there all night, and then, you know, it may walk with maintenance or somebody. So there's always problems mm-hmm. that come up. But I like that idea of putting a hose reel on there and running quick connect so you're not screwing and unscrewing and you're not worrying about leakage.
Yep.
I mean, because I don't know about y'all, but on our sideline, that is probably my number one, I guess, what do you call it when like somebody has that thing that they're always trying to chase? No, their muse, I guess.
Sure.
Where it's just that one thing that they're trying to accomplish, but they never quite. Ice Age, the squirrel chasing the acorn. Okay, that type of thing.
Yeah, gotcha.
My goal is to prevent all leaking, okay? And I will lose my mind trying to figure out why the heck is it leaking now. And one of the things was, you know, man, if you put a quick connect there and boom, plug it in, that's an air fitting. If it's solid to air, it's solid to water.
Yeah.
Now you're not flooding the sideline and the soccer coach is happier with you than he was before you flooded half his field.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how I know.
All right, Casey, what you got?
I agree with that. I don't have too many quick connects on my stuff. We still have some of the regular hose connections, and those things are the biggest nuisance in the world.
There you go.
Just connecting them, unconnecting them. One, you got to do it. Second, if the kid doesn't put it on just right, it's spewing everywhere. And I've never had the soccer coach mad at me. I haven't the football coach mad at me, and that's not as much fun.
Yeah, see, then they booger up the threads, and then you have to cut that off and put a new piece on there, and then that never fits just right. So.
You ever run into the problem where your threads, and Casey, maybe you've had this too, where your threads get mashed up because maybe it got run over with mm-hmm. the golf cart yep. or something like that, and those threads, they get mashed up. Well, it still screws on. There's water leaking everywhere, and you go through like 10 rolls of Teflon tape trying to fix that. By the way, athletic trainers, one of the easiest ways to fix a leak quick is to run Teflon tape, which is that yep. just little 99-cent roll of white yep. tape that you can buy. Run Teflon tape around something that's leaking. Let that be your first option.
Which I believe one of you guys put, I think it was Casey, put a link to in the show notes in case you don't know what plumber's tape is. Right? Same thing? Plumber's tape, Teflon tape?
Is that right, Casey?
Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
My first and my second line of defense.
Yeah.
Hey. If it don't work, I put more.
And if that don't work, we're going to athletic tape, man, because I promise you. We're going to have a whole 15-minute segment on what we fixed with athletic tape.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so the hose reels, I love them. It makes it a lot easier mm-hmm. And definitely – you know, get them welded on there. When I started this idea, I was at George Bush and I had a green cart reel that you could wheel out, and you know that would worked because it was one of those stand up chiller models. But the green one, it just wasn't attached, so it was an extra thing you had to wheel out there, and you couldn't do it at the same time. So whenever I finally came up with this idea, I was pretty impressed with myself. So
I'm impressed. I'm impressed right now because it's something I hadn't really thought about. So. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so that video, again, it's on my homepage, so you'll have to check it out. All right, so the district maintenance people actually, whenever we have one of our cows, one of our power models,
mm-hmm.
Go out, then usually we'll send it over there. If it's like an electrical issue, they've replaced batteries or replaced connections for us. Mm-hmm. So instead of calling somebody, like sending it back to the manufacturer, that kind of thing, yes. it may be easier and less expensive because we don't pay them. They just do it. Right. So mm-hmm. that's another option for maintaining some of those systems. Like they just fixed our golf cart, put in new batteries and those kind of things. Otherwise, if we had done it ourselves, would have been several hundred dollars. But just at least finding out your options within your district and
how does that work for y'all? You just send it over there and then they bill you back to your account. They bill you back to your account. Like, let's say they put the batteries, or is that considered a district maintenance thing for a district vehicle? So that like, they don't bill you.
So for the golf cart, it's not actually an athletic training golf cart. It's an athletics golf cart.
Okay.
And so we didn't pay the bill.
Yeah.
So we called them and said, hey, can you guys fix this? They said yes. And then I don't know if athletics paid the bill or if the school paid the bill or what, but
how does that work with your water boys though? Say you got a battery powered unit. And Casey, I'd be interested to see how it works with your maintenance departments, because our deal is if it goes to maintenance, they're gonna fix it, and obviously they'll fix it at much cheaper than you know any outside source would, but it still comes back to us as something that's taken out of our budget. Well, we budget beginning of the year for maintenance in my mind, and not every athletic trainer is as very interested in building and taking care of this stuff as much as I am, but. To me, you send it over there, you lose it for a time period instead of me going to buy the electric wire and changing it. Like I had a water boy motor go out yesterday and middle of practice, I had another one, ripped it out, threw another one in. the wiring wasn't right, so I had to rewire it. But by the end of practice, we had a running water boy again. I can't wait on maintenance because right. I don't know about y'all. They take forever. Shout out to them. They're good people, though.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the golf cart was over there for several weeks before it got fixed. But it got fixed, and, you know, I completely understand. As athletic trainers in general, we fix things, right? That's what we do. We fix things. But some people are less mechanically inclined, and so this is an option. I fix things. I build things. I repair things.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's a fun challenge. But there's sometimes where that challenge, I'm like, I'll let somebody else deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. For us, I use maintenance for the gator when it needs its standard maintenance. It's never actually broken down. We just got a new one a few years back. But for the water cows, I fix as much of that myself as I can. And I think I've had one thing where we had someone come in and do all the district stuff and fix everything. And they fixed one of them for me because I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that part. Casey, would you find down there? And of course, I'm from that area. I know it's. They say there's more salt there, whatever, you know, of course you're down in Corpus. Do you find that you have any issues with your equipment rusting or your connections on your batteries becoming more corroded?
Ours are stored in an indoor shed overnight all the time. So I've never had one of those problems. The only problem we have with the connections is the kids rip them off.
Yeah. Yeah. How do y'all have yours? Are they alligator clamps? Or are they those, man, I don't even know what they're called. They're just, they're kind of
little slide on
clamps. Yeah. Slide on. Is that
they're
how
slide on connectors, but we've had so much difficulty with this year. I'm already making plans to replace them to alligator clamps just for ease of removal. Like when you got to take a battery out.
Okay. And I'd used alligator clamps. My only problem with the alligator clamps, and it may be the ones that I got, but I went over to O'Reilly's, got some quote-unquote stainless steel, good automotive quality clamps, came back, soldered them, heat shrink around the cables, everything, plugged them in, and I would say 3-4 weeks into using those, I'm noticing a lot of corrosion on them. I couldn't figure out why. It may have been the clamps, but then I had one day where the clamps, they slipped in transit and they touched each other, shorted out, and created a nice charcoal battery box for me. I don't know if you've had that problem either.
I had one of those, not from that scenario. It was on one I was fixing and miswired, but I know that's
that's what fuses are for, man.
Yep.
Yeah, fuses. By the way, fuses are very important, athletic trainers. If you decide to rewire something, I think Casey will agree. Run you a fuse, and sometimes those electric motors, they have fuse recommendations on them. So we're talking about the SureFlow, FlowJet, those pumps that come in the maybe WizTech, Waterboy, Alert, Oasis. They call for a particular fuse to be in line, and we have it on the positive side of ours, but we use a 10-amp, just a car fuse. Put it in line, so if something did get backwards wired or shorted out, you blow a fuse instead of a motor and a battery, which is what we just did on our Waterboy we bought beginning of the year. That's why I had to pull it out. Whole motor, whole battery shot. Going back to Waterboy.
Placing those ain't all that fun.
No. And fuses actually save you, man. And I don't know why there wasn't a fuse on that. I spoke with Waterboy about that, you know, I could not figure out for the life of me why they didn't put a fuse in there. So either way, I'm getting a new motor, so I'll take it.
Nice. Nice. So while we're on that motor, have you found any good replacements? So like Grainger, because honestly, some places I've tried to order motors from are very difficult to get a hold of, to find things on their website, to get back in touch with me. So have you found a go-to source for those motors?
Well, I'm interested to see, Casey, do you have anywhere you go specifically? Have you ever had honestly, to go buy a new motor?
I use Amazon.
Yep.
I look at the old motor, and presuming the one they put in there is the one I probably want to use again, the same model, I just type it in the Amazon search bar, and it's been cheaper than anywhere else I can find it online. I don't even try at the Harbor Freight if I don't figure out on the exact one.
All right, so when you're going to Amazon, Casey, do you pay for that yourself, or do you just submit receipts?
I pay for it myself, and then I submit the receipt as a reimbursement.
And then the school's fine with that?
Yeah.
All right.
I know in our training room, I mean, if it's coming out of our activity budget and it's not coming out of that main district set of money that they've given us, that it is very easy for them to say, yeah, we see you bought three motors, okay, here's reimbursement. Now if we try to get reimbursed out of that supply account, that's different because that's district money. Then they're going to ask us for three bids. And then if we still did do it that way, I may have to go to Harbor Freight, try to find it. May have to do the same thing online at Granger and then go look at Amazon and print out the motor prices from each one to justify why I got it where I got it. I mean, just everybody knows each school is different and you got hoops to jump through.
It makes me feel like ours is so much easier now thinking about it because I don't have any hoops. I can turn it. I can reimburse out of supply or activity account. Makes no difference. I just tell them which.
Huh. Well, yeah. And that I think that just some schools are different on some things.
Yeah, and it's probably more of a – I don't know how big your school district is. Klein's pretty big. Pasadena's pretty big, so they have to
– Corpus, y'all are 6A schools for the most part, correct?
We're 6A and 5A's mixed, and we'll have six high schools.
Okay, yeah, because they're opening district. The new Memorial High School, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's my hood, man. I'm telling you.
All right. So when you're buying on Amazon, do you have tax exempt status? Because if we buy stuff, we don't get reimbursed tax. So do you just eat the tax yourself, or
correct? I just eat the $2 or $3 of tax money. I figure I'd rather get it in the 2-day free Amazon Prime shipping I'll get, and at the price I want to pay, and not have to worry about it.
I agree. This morning, I was waiting on some testing rooms to get taken care of. And I got on my tablet there and we were looking at the motors we wanted to use on our Lago units that are going to be from Frio Hydration. They'll be coming out this summer. And those are our battery powered units. And I went online and I found a particular place. They're actually up Wisconsin, Iowa, kind of that area, but it was Mills Fleet Farm. And we ended up ordering some motors for our prototypes from them. And those motors cost us $49. They were on sale. They water safe, 3 gallon, 2.9 gallons per minute flow. I think they're going to be good motors. And I thought that was a fair price. I know I've looked up SureFlow. You're looking anywhere from $60 to $70 on those. I don't know what you've paid for them before. FlowJet, about the same prices when it comes to those type of motors. But we were lucky. We had probably five of like the generation one WizTech old low boy tankers.
Mm-hmm.
That the athletic trainer, when I got there, she was tired of fooling with them, and so they just put them in storage. And what I did is I went out and just deconstructed everything on them, took the best parts of it and used it to fix our other units. So we've had a surplus of motors and wires and things like that, so we haven't had to buy a whole lot.
Yeah, see, that's always the fun part. So let me kick it back right here. Nick said, where was it? We were talking about the coils, running the copper coils across the bottom. Copper's pretty expensive right now. Is running the coils all the way across the bottom going to increase the price much, or is it kind of irrelevant?
Not necessarily. If you get 3/8-inch copper coiling, which is what is used in everybody's Waterboy, Kramer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
3/8-inch copper tubing for a 25-foot length of it, I believe, is $40 to $50, which is not bad because you got to think copper is going to last you a long time. So copper prices, I've not run into them being exorbitant as we have been buying it to build our prototypes. It hadn't been bad. I don't know why it's not near as bad as you think it would be. But it also makes you want to kind of keep an eye on your coolers and stuff, right? So
right.
You don't have that copper walking.
All right. One of the next things I got, again, in my video, I showed the Blue Hawk cart from Lowe's. The cart you have here is like some of the carts that we have that are normal lawn and garden carts from Lowe's or Home Depot. But this one is different. The chassis are almost like an inch and a half square tubing that's been kind of built. Kind of bent, so it's like one solid piece that makes the arch and back down, so it turns a lot easier and it's less flimsy, it's more solid. Just in general, again, the link there is in the show notes, but I really, anytime I'm gonna buy a lawn and garden cart, that's gonna be the one I'm gonna buy. It's $20-$30 more than the one you're gonna get at Lowe's, Home Depot, Home Depot or Academy, those kind of things. But for me, it's well worth the extra money, and it's just a lot more solid because we've had screws come off or things break on those other carts. And again, I show on the videos where we've welded stuff together. We've taken it to the auto shop to have it fixed up. But that one from Lowe's that I have in the show notes there, I would highly recommend using that one if you are putting using that to cart stuff into and from the field, or like we have our trash cans with our flows on top of them. So those are our power units. So I really like those carts.
Okay, I'm looking at them right now. You find them, they're durable?
Yes.
They don't come with run flats, though, do they?
No, they don't.
So do you retrofit them with run flats, or do you just wear out the pneumatic tires and then put you a run flat on there?
Yeah, I wouldn't go with a brand new product and then put another brand new product. So once those tires wear out, then we'll replace them. But I wouldn't straight up go spend $120 on a cart and then turn around and spend $100 on tires to put them on there. So
yeah, I'm looking. They're on sale right now, $99. Shout out to Lowe's. I mean, we're hooking people up today.
That's right.
Hey, free advertisement all across the board. That was just, I know the steering mechanisms on carts, especially like this, the steering mechanisms can get very, very worn. Casey, have you had the same problem?
We actually don't use any of these carts for pretty much anything around here. So I have no experience on these other than about 10 years ago when I was back in the Houston area and when I was in high school, and they were pretty flimsy back then.
Okay. So do you're still using the old original carts? Was that what you were saying?
We're not using any carts like that right now. The water stations we use are the Kramer Thermaflow, like the one you show in the background.
Yeah.
Then a power flow 20-gallon cart unit and one of the 40-gallon sports cool tankers.
Okay.
We don't have any of the cart models that y'all are making yourselves.
Okay. So what are yours rolling on then?
They're rolling on the
Thermaflow, like the 150, I believe is what it is.
Rolling on 20s.
Yeah, rolling on 20s. Hey, they're 10s, but I keep them clean. How are y'all getting them out to practice is what I'm asking, because I'm sitting here like, we've got to put this on a cart. What do y'all have them on?
It's on the cart that it came with.
Okay, so you got original. So basically, if you're using Kramer, I bet it's this cart right here, because this is actually what came from Kramer when we ordered this 2 years ago.
Correct. It's on the original cart, and the cart appears to be okay from Kramer. It's going to break one day, especially that handle, but no problem so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that handle right there, that connection that you're just talking about, that's one thing that I hate. It's so wobbly and so weak. And so that Blue Hawk from Lowe's is definitely more solid than that. And we've taken that cart and how that the top is a triangle, but it doesn't fully connect. Well, if you're pulling it with any weight, that thing tends to bend, right? And so we actually had them weld those closed because they were bending and opening up and causing problems there.
I'm just going to show some things here since we're having a show and tell session. Just so if anybody's out there watching, is that one live?
It will be interesting.
Okay. So if anybody's out there watching, let's just flip this over so we can see. Now this.
Robbie is noisy.
There's still water leaking out of that.
It's all
right. Not on the wires, right? I'm just going to show. I feel like I'm on QVC. If you buy now.
There you go. Got special deals.
So we're looking at the bottom side of it here. Okay. Some would say the side to get you paid, I guess. I don't know. So what we've had this particular cart, and this is just your standard lawn and garden cart. And I mean, I've done my best to keep them lubricated like we talked about earlier. But yeah, we're getting worn here.
Yeah.
You don't see these same issues with the Blue Hawk carts. Do you still have those same issues, Jeremy?
I do not. It's solid. I don't have that issue.
That's good, man, because I'd never known that. That's had I known that about a year ago, I would have made the switch there. Mine, the one biggest deal that we've had, that these connections right here that are bolted, they get rusted out.
Yes.
And this one right here, this little cotter pin, it's about to go.
Yep, we've lost those two.
You lose the cotter pin, and then that hole gets worn. You can't put another cotter pin back in there. I actually had our shop weld that back together, but now it doesn't turn right. So these have driven me nuts. I will tell you this, though, that Waterboy does. This is obviously not a Waterboy cart. Waterboy is rolling with their aluminum carts, and I think they're pretty solid. Now, Casey said you don't use Waterboy carts, right? You're all Kramer?
Correct. We're all Kramer with one sports cool, but it's on that tanker cart, and you're never going to change it out of what it's on right now.
Yeah, sports cool makes a decent one. When it comes down to these particular carts, I love what you showed me with the Blue Hawk, and that's something we're definitely going to look at. I will tell you this, that our design, when Frio Hydration started, that was kind of where it all came from, was me fixing these all the dadgum time.
Yep.
And I said, well, you know what? I'm just going to make the one that I always wanted. And if other people want one, awesome. They can buy it from us. And if they don't, then, hey, it's okay. I mean, I'm still keeping my day job. But as we've been out there and we've been talking to athletic trainers, hearing the same things you're talking about carts. They're not what they should be for the money you're paying for them.
Right.
And one thing we did, we're doing half-inch square tubing. So it looks a lot like this, but it's a heck of a lot beefier. And if you follow Frio Hydration on Instagram, we actually have pictures of that prototype up. So you can see this is a solid, going to last probably longer than you stay at your particular school cart. That was one of the biggest deals. I know with the Waterboy carts, you use Waterboy here, Jeremy?
We have four Waterboy chillers.
Okay. Have you ever had any issues with the, and not bashing on a particular company, just trying to put it out there, you know, what we're all trying to work with here. I know that my buddy Randy Angerstein over at Klein Forest, he said as he was pulling his carts across the field, because they have to pull them on with their carts, mm-hmm. gaiters, so on and so forth, those wheels would get caught, and it would bend. Since it's aluminum, it's softer. The wheel would get caught, and it's on that caster, and that caster would bend, and it would get locked up and jammed and just be dragging, kind of tearing up the tire, and he wanted something more solid.
We don't have aluminum carts. We have the older ones, so probably 4 years ago.
Are those the blue ones?
The blue basket on top of the steel cart.
So when I tell you about this problem here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. About this problem with the steering?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we had two old blue carts, and we had the same thing, man. Drive you friggin' nuts.
Yeah, so one of the issues that you see there, or you have that side mounted, the manifold, you have that side mounted.
Yeah, that's how Kramer sends them,
And so that was always, it gets really wobbly. And so that's another issue we're always having to kind of fix and adjust when it, cause it's center. It was center mounted on, at least on the ones that we have. And so that's another issue. And I think, Casey wrote something in there about manifolds leaking, manifold issues.
Manifolds leaking, more likely manifolds breaking. And while that Kramer thing is in vision, that thermoflow right there, I can't tell if it has those plastic twist on connectors up on the manifold.
This is
Gosh dang it, that was the biggest frustration in the world.
Let me tell you, let me help you. I'm glad you're here today, sir. here's why I do what I do. Obviously, I got into athletic training because I want to help, you know, athletes. But the other part, kind of since we started Frio Hydration, is helping athletic trainers deal with the things that you shouldn't have to waste your time with. And I know exactly what you're talking about, how Kramer has this odd snap spin gasket system. And my nemesis, my arch nemesis, is leaking. And so you may know what I'm talking about here, but these freaking things leak, man. It just drove me nuts. So what I did is I went back and reverse engineered every water, and we've got them all at our training room. We have tried Kramer. We have tried Alert. We have WizTech. We have Waterboy. I promise you, I'd probably buy from a new company every single year. And I took the best of each one, put it together. Well, I love how Waterboy they use these quick connects. It's 3/8 OD quick connects. This right here is ice maker tubing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I went and got some 3/8 quick connects, some ice maker tubing, and I used some T's all along down here. And this was just Christmas break project for myself. I used T's all the way down, took these are the original with the Kramer, I believe. The original spigots and the hoses, plugged them into Quick Connect, and I'm talking just simple as can be. Everybody knows how the Quick Connect goes. And I took all those things off, and with the pre-existing holes, ran the tubing through there, zip ties. It's not the prettiest thing in the world, but dadgum it, it works. So there's your answer to your problem. Strip them all off. Go get you some 3/8 inch OD. You can even use pneumatic as long as it's poly. It's water safe. Polyurethane tubing, I believe. It's water safe. Get you some quick connects and change that right now. Like today, dude, go do it.
Here's what I did on mine. A track kid leaned up against it, I don't know, two months ago, and cracked the big gray pipe, the main manifold.
Right here.
Right in two. Yeah, yep. They cracked that part. So I just got me 1-inch pipe, started over. While I was at it, I used the tees you're talking about, but into a 1/2-inch reduction with the threads on the inside of the 1/2-inch, and used brass connections to come back down into a, I don't know what you call it, the part, the bib that the plastic hose can connect onto.
Down that comes into the cooler?
No, that'll come down to the blue coiled hose.
Oh,
the
right
barb.
Here.
Sorry.
Yes.
Barb.
Okay. So did you I'm sure you've used Waterboy system, but Waterboy, what they do is they take this PVC pipe and they run it in an aluminum pipe. Then they punch a hole and they thread it and put a just stainless steel or brass quick connect there. Is that what you're telling me you did? Or did you do something different?
Mine was just that T that it was a reducing T. And then with the brass, a half inch brass fitting that went into that, and then a just a barb connection down again to fit into that.
Right here.
So there's no quick connect. It was just all brass screwing into each other.
For athletic trainers watching, if you feel like you are novice at repairs, it does not get any simpler than a quick connect. Quick connects are the easiest things in the world. As long as you get your OD right, you can get it done. Now, if you're more advanced, like myself or Casey, I apologize, sir. Casey, he's advanced. He's son of a diesel mechanic. I can tell, you know, if my truck broke down, I'd call Casey, okay? But not every athletic trainer would necessarily be that way. I know that Chrissy, my partner, she was down here on the show a couple weeks ago. Awesome. She's always wanting to learn about this, but there's a certain point when she's like, can't we just get somebody to fix this? And I'm like, no, we're going to fix this. I'm going to fix this. And she's kind of like, well, enjoy chasing that great white whale, Moby. You know, that's where we're at. So if you're not feeling like you're up for it, I'm telling you, get you a couple quick connects and some 3/8 inch OD water safe tubing. You can solve a lot of problems in the water world, per se. That's the way I would see it. Casey, you would agree. Like you got a rig down there, man. I want to see that thing.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, when you get a chance, take some pictures, post them here in the show notes right there where you said the manifold issues. Just post some pictures so that we can see. And if you have any during, before, or after shots, then definitely post those. That way anybody else can see and maybe understand.
In the notes, I posted a before picture. I haven't posted an after picture. I posted a video of what it looks like nowadays, but it's up there already.
I'm going to have to go look at that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
It makes sense of what I'm trying to say with it, but it works better. Like, it's not going to be that gray pipe. I just have the white paper. It still has the purple primer stains on. I didn't care. It works.
Exactly. You're not trying to make it to sell it and look pretty. You're just trying to make it to work.
So. Can we hit the rewind button real quick? Sorry, Casey, if you're going to say something. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Go ahead, Casey.
I didn't know what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Oh, come on. I didn't mean to do that.
All right, so rewind. What you got?
Okay. Just we were fixing to move on to something else, and we mentioned about, I know you said this, we get this wobble going on. Mm-hmm. This is frustrating, okay? And I mentioned earlier this is speed rail. Not a lot of athletic trainers know that, and it's very common on most of our water equipment. This is speed rail. It's aluminum. It's actually used for building chain link fence. Oh. Okay, and they use this to make the elbows and connections on chain link fence. It does an awesome job, but these set screws that set with an Allen key, they get loose. And even this one right here, it's loose from me throwing it in the truck today. I found the solution, and it's very simple.
It's Teflon tape?
Teflon tape. Athletic tape? No. Loctite.
Loctite.
Okay, Loctite, once again, some athletic trainers may not know what this is, and it's okay if you don't know what this is.
It's Lowe's.
Country boys that kind of grew up.
They have it at Harbor Freight, too.
And so. Harbor Freight, yeah, it's just a little
Amazon
packet, Amazon. Look up Loctite, and what it is, it's a solution that you put on the end of that set screw, screw it down in there and tighten it good, and it keeps it from getting loose and
basically
backing out.
Glues it in. It's kind of like a silicone, like.
Kind of lock. Well, it locks it in there,
yeah,
tight.
Loctite, yeah. Locks it in there tight. Hey,
Casey, have you ever used that?
I have not used it on a water cow, but you saying it makes a lot of sense to me. I better start using it. Well, I have the same issue on that thing wobbling even after I fixed it.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. If you're anything like me, you know, leaks, wobbling, there's a lot of things, I guess, that irk me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're trying to make something that works. I understand completely. It's I go build something and like, it's not just perfect. They're like, what are you talking about? It's great. No. You see that one little spot? I got to fix that. Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, so that's I can't believe my dad is a mechanic too. I grew up working in a boat shop. He uses Loctite all the time to put gaskets on when you're putting motors back together.
Yeah.
And I've never thought to put Loctite in those screws. And
that's actually an idea
that
Randy Angerstein and I came up with when we were talking about Freo Hydration. Now we are planning on sending our units one of two ways. My cart manufacturer, we're working obviously still prototype stage, but we're working on a better, larger set screw.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have this little piece holding so much weight, etc. We're going to try to use a larger set screw and then send it pre-Loctited. Can you say that?
Yeah.
And then when you get it or send a tube of it with it, you go ahead and screw it in there. It'll be set and hopefully give you a little bit better longevity when it comes to this part. Now, there's some water companies out there that don't have this problem because they don't use this rail. Like Sports Cool, I don't think they use the railing. I know WizTech He doesn't use the railing. He's got his own patented manifold system, and basically his is like a Medusa. Comes out and got 8 different drops on it or something like that. Am I right on the sports cool on that? That it doesn't have the railing, does it?
It does not. No,
okay,
sir.
Okay. I'm learning a lot about a lot of... Hey, and guys, we haven't talked about... if you're really looking for heavy duty and you're by yourself, when I say by yourself, meaning you may not have the army of student trainers that some schools may have. There are companies out there. Vortex makes a very solid, very large, actually uses a car size battery, water, cow, cart, whatever you want to call it. Vortex makes that. And then there's another group of boys out there that I really like. And I like what they've done. They are heavy duty. Like they're trying to water an army. And they are Water Hog. You can check them out. They've got some pretty legit stuff. And, there's one more, guy called Wheeling Water. I don't know if anybody's used them before, but Wheeling Water, that's another company. Theirs is not based off a cart system. Theirs is based off of a dolly system. And it was something that was designed, by their student manager, their football manager. He was the one having to take water out there. He's like, what if we put this on a dolly, almost like a ricochet. Is that the word? Those carts?
Rickshaw.
There you go. Rickshaw carts. That's kind of what comes to mind when you look at Wheeling Water's page. They have that rickshaw type, very simple to carry. So they don't even use carts like this. So many options out there. It all comes down to what's your flavor and kind of how do you like it?
I agree. Yeah, there's a lot of different things. So one of the things that I have on here that I'm kind of in love with, because it solves a lot of those. If you're looking at Robbie's card, it has the black handle that you squeeze the trigger,
yes,
to release the water. And then I know that our previous WisTech model had a like a 90 valve. So it's a thumb valve. You flip the thumb so that it's parallel and the water goes through. When it's perpendicular, the water doesn't. But we've replaced all those with the helium nozzles. And if you don't know what that is, then go find a helium tank and press the nozzle and it'll let helium out. So it's the helium nozzle. At least that's what I call them. And those are so much easier because you don't have anything to break off. There's no handles. No, you know, and these kids, they're athletes. They're high school athletes. They're thirsty. They're running over to get water because coach is yelling at them. So it's a lot easier and a lot less finding parts, or, you know, you can only put those handles back on so many times before they wear out. So another thing that I really love there is the helium nozzle. And I think I have a link there to one that I found on Amazon, whether it's the right one or not, just as an example. So,
I like those nozzles too. That is what WisTech has gone to. And they're actually, we've talked about partnering with them to also use their nozzles on the Freo hydration carts, because these nozzles right here are great. And I think everybody can kind of knows what I'm talking about. You've seen them at some point in time. Casey, is this what y'all have?
That's what we have. And I've seen the helium nozzles he's talking about, but honestly, I prefer the kind you're holding in your hand. I still like the squeeze trigger.
Does anybody have this problem though?
It comes off. Yes.
Oh yeah.
That's exactly.
Okay. You lose these, then you go out to the field and there's two of them that have this particular black piece on it. And then you're like, daggum, I got to go back, and you got to find these and come back, put them on. Next thing you know, you finish practice and you're still two down. That's the only thing. And I've tried super gluing them. I've tried silicone, and I've tried everything in the world. I don't know. Do y'all have any solutions for these right here?
I got nothing. They fall
Jeremy,
off.
You
and
got
I send
nothing. You just buy more.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. We're just replacing them over gradually. You know, I mean, they're a bit more expensive. It's more expensive to replace anything because you're having to buy an extra part. But but it's well worth it to me because I haven't had to pick up a single handle or had to have an inactive water station since. Because of the handle.
Okay, did y'all know how to adjust these?
Yeah, you take the handle off and you put it in there and tighten it loose.
Yeah, I don't know. I bring this up not because Casey or Jeremy may not know, but there's an actual kind of wrench back here on the backside of this handle, and you can adjust the tension on the actual, I guess, spring valve. You can adjust the tension here. So if you're having a problem with the kids mashing down and these falling off, that means probably your spring is too tight. So you can come in here with this little wrench and loosen that spring up a little bit, so maybe it doesn't put as much pressure on there to open it up, and you don't lose these handles as much. Casey, you knew that, right?
Yes, sir.
You're son of a diesel mechanic, man. You're on it.
Most stuff here is learned by figuring it out by accident, though, not going to lie.
That's exactly, exactly how I figured that one out.
But you're, but we're working on it, figuring out, like, oh, there's got to be an easier way, got to be a better way. And, you know, Bill and I are always, there's got to be an easier way to do this, got to be a better way. Sometimes it takes us 6 years to figure out to put Velcro on the door to hang signs on to say, hey, we're across the street. But, you know, sometimes it just takes us that long.
Or so, dry erase board, you know, whatever.
Well, it, then you have to have the marker, and then you have kids drawing anatomy objects on there. So,
yeah,
you know, Velcro and a little sign works really easy. It's and the, then you just stick them on the backside. But, again, some things just...
What is it? Necessity breeds invention?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever it is. All right. I talked about brass connectors in the video. So on the inside of, again, we have a water boy, so we have their copper. So, and they have those plastic quick connects like you have up top. And so,
I'll show you. I'm going to show you here on the...
All right. So while I was doing that, one thing we did, I have a friend that works at Plumbing Supply. I call him... actually, I called one of the one of these companies, and they're like, yeah, we can replace them. They're like $20 a piece. And I'm like, oh, man, hold up. So I call my friend at a plumbing supply store, and they're like maybe a dollar a piece. So he sends me like a whole box of them. And so when that guy comes to fix our deals, I just said, hey, yeah, I already have these pieces. We just reconnect them there. And so you find a plumbing supply store, talk to them, find a friend, you know, that kind of thing. And don't just go with only one option. But I found them, those almost exact same things. They are the exact same thing, but they're brass instead of plastic. And they're like $1, $2 a piece.
Yeah, there's a company out there. They make a new one called Shark Bite. All gimmicky, whatever. Does the same thing that you... Get your old your outside dimension right. 3/8 is what is most common. And you just shove it in there and push it in tight. Then you've got something that you can actually remove later if you need to. What I like about it, and here on the inside of our prototype that we made here, I took a coil from an old water boy unit. I just put a quick connect here on this particular side. Quick connect, ran 3/8 inch tubing, and ran that to this one over here. It's got a barb to the out coming outside of it. I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm not doing anything spectacular. It's just those other ones, those compression fittings is what we call them. Mm-hmm. Compression fittings, man, they leak. And I know Casey said that he's tightened them down, but, man, I get to some points, ours get so worn that I can't even hardly tighten them down anymore to try to save the day.
Yeah, or they bend just a little bit, and then you're screwed.
It's over. I learned that one the hard way, I think. There we go. We'll just leave that there. Casey, what do you think, man? That's a diesel mechanic son over there.
Hey, I don't know. That looked pretty good right there on that compression system. Hopefully, I know eventually I'll see the day that tightening them down don't work, and we'll go from there. I see making that horizontal system in my future for too long, though.
And the thing about, all right, I'm going to tell you here, this is our, for Frio Hydration, going to be released this summer. This is our prototype for our Rio system. Rio meaning river, continuous water flow, kind of going with that there. But we're not reinventing the wheel by putting copper in there, but by laying it horizontal, and what we eventually plan to do is run it along the bottom, we create a system where your coils are constantly under water and ice. The only thing we're adding to it is we're getting rid of the flimsy, easy to break, no lid staying on igloos that these come in. And we've worked out a deal here with Brute Outdoors. And they make a very much like a Yeti, but a lot cheaper than a Yeti. These coolers. And they're a little bit more cumbersome now. They're a little heavier. But that's kind of a give and take in my book. I'll take something heavier instead of having to deal with this lid flopping off all the time. Instead of having to deal with broken hinges and locks all the time. I am very, very, very impressed with this. Even if I wasn't starting this company and trying to get something going here, as an athletic trainer, we've used this the last 2 days at spring football. I have never seen a coiled unit hold ice as well as this one did. And I'm pumped up about it because we went there at the end of practice. Kids are like, how do we empty it? I said, well, pull the drain plug. It said it's full of ice. It's not melted like the other one. I said, well, what? I went and looked at it and I said, what in the world? This thing's full of ice. It's been out here 3.5 hours, been drank out of. Very minimal water. Of course, you got 3 inches of insulation. This thing's built like a tank. I gave one to the kids the other day. I said, try to break it. 15 different kids standing on it, jumping on it, throwing it. Nothing. That's why I love these coolers. And as an athletic trainer, it makes sense to me that that's what you need. Stop spending all your money on those igloos every year. These got a 5-year warranty. And then if we put them on a cart like that, do the small things, use the quick connects, do the things that last, that are easier to work with, you think you got a better product. That's what necessity breeds invention. Is that correct? Yeah. Telling you those coolers. Anybody else have problems with their, like, their igloos falling apart? What are some of your ways to fix the hinges?
We don't fix the hinges. It's actually it's not worth it. So you just take it so that the lid sets off to the side. You fill it up and set the lid back on.
So. Same thing with you.
Exactly.
Casey? Yeah. So y'all just let them off, things flop all over the ground and everything.
Hopefully one holds on and at least has some function left. But when both are off, you just pull it off and put the whole unit back on as just a cap.
Yeah. And how about them? I don't know. Our igloos coming on and off the carts, we would have to, you know, you put them on, you take them off, you empty them. The bottoms would get scraped up and they were leaking out the bottoms.
But see, we don't ever take ours off.
Well, to empty, we take them off when we clean them sometimes.
All our chillers, we don't ever clean the inside of them. I'm like, if you reach in there and grab some of that ice, you deserve to get whatever you're getting. Because I put a strap over the top of it, and I tell you to keep your hands out of there, and I tell you that we don't clean those, you deserve to get whatever you're getting.
This is true. I'll agree. That's good practice right there.
Do you feel like that strap helps you, though, Jeremy? Like, the strap came with ours, and to me, I was like, well, this is the biggest waste ever. It didn't really help me stabilize it, and all it did was make it hard for me to refill and drain every time.
No, I think it's great because it does do stabilize. Like, it keeps it from shifting left and right, back and forth. So, because we also run it through the handles, and so that it holds it still, holds the cart still, and then it keeps that down. So there's only the occasional intelligent kid that can undo the ratchet strap and open it up. And, you know, it does happen. And then I can just empty all the ice out and say, well, here you go, guys. This is what you get for keep opening it when I close it. But I feel like just that, you know, again, Harbor Freight, I think it's a pack of four for like $8 or $14, depending on whether or not you got the coupon, that those ratchet straps help a lot. There's something that we've been very pleased with.
I would agree with ratchet straps. Of course, I use them for everything. I've had a train of four or five water boys and all, whatever you want to call them, cows, running up from practice when all the kids had to go in for lightning.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I'm a grown adult.
Yeah.
So I had to clear the field myself, and I just had a train come behind the gator. Kind of look back in the day at A&M Kingsville, we had a kiddie train that would go around the track every time they scored a touchdown. The Havilese like would score in a little train, and all it was 55 gallon drums, little kids sitting mm-hmm. in it going around. That's what I felt like. I was running the train back in the day at O&I, baby. Hey, real quick, we were talking about coolers. Do y'all, I know a lot of these systems have tanks. Now, Casey, you mentioned that you're using Kramer. I know that they have the Igloo Ice Chest. Do you have any systems with tanks? I know your Sports Cool does. Is that right, Casey?
We have two tanker units, that 40-gallon Sports Cool and the 20-gallon Kramer Power Flow.
Yes. How do you handle the ice situation getting, you know how those tanks, they almost magnify the sun a little bit. And your ice just gets zapped quicker than you ever intended it.
Yes.
Y'all have any? I've seen people wrap them in blankets, coat them with bed liner. Do y'all have anything for that?
We just let it ride.
You just let it ride.
Yep.
I haven't made any modifications to that. I've seen them wrap it in that gray insulation stuff. I'm not quite sure what it's called in my head, but I know what it looks like. And to some people, they think it works. To me, it's just in the way. So I just let the ice melt and put more ice in it.
Well, something that it's not the same thing. We, like I said, we put our flows on top of trash cans and with a hole in the lid, but we've doubled the trash can. So we'll have two trash cans so that the sun is beating down on the outside layer. And then there's that layer of air insulating. And so, you know, it makes it a little bit less stable, but we've cut the handles out to reduce the gap there. And we've also drilled holes in the outside, in the bottom of the outside trash can so that water can leak out. But just using that extra trash can as an insulating layer has seemed to help for us.
Making, while we're waiting on Frio Hydration to get going and getting Pasadena High School taken care of, I had an idea just to help you with yours. So if you have those two, you're setting a trash can within a trash can.
Correct.
Have you thought about making you a little hole, maybe at the top side somewhere, and running that expanding foam, you know, what we would use home repair, running that expanding foam in there,
because
mm-hmm. it'll expand and it'll actually fill that space. So you created an extra huge cooler almost. You think that would help? I think it may be worth a shot. I'm just thinking here. Thinking out loud.
I've considered it. But those coolers sweat a lot, and I'm not sure if it would cause a lot of mold growth because when it has ice on the inside, and maybe not, maybe if I had foam there, it wouldn't sweat. So that's just one of those things. I've thought about it. Okay. I haven't tried it. And maybe if I, you know, buy an extra two trash cans, then I can just try it and give it a shot. But usually you think about those things when you're on the football field. And then then by the time you get off the football field, you're done going thinking about it. You
completely forget it. Yeah.
You remember 2 weeks later, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Or it'll hit you the next time you're standing out there and you really need that particular piece of equipment. And you're like, dadgum, I should have fixed that. It's frustrating. That's one of the most frustrating parts. I ask those questions because I've seen a lot of things that people have tried to do to get those tanks to hold ice longer. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, I've used we've got the Waterboy, the 50-gallon, I think, tanker unit. Yeah, 50-gallon. And we tried putting car covers and things like that over it. The only thing that I could honestly come to a conclusion of is either deal with it and know you're going to lose ice quicker than you really want there, or find something that seals watertight and has the insulation you're looking for, which is why we went out and found a company like Brute makes the Rotomotive coolers. And the problem is, though, nobody sells the athletic trainers as far as these particular coolers. I had a terrible time convincing, you know, Yeti, K2 coolers, all these guys. I was like, hey, I know people that use ice more than your hunters and fishermen. They couldn't believe it. Well, of course, a lot of people don't understand what we do. But I'm telling you guys, that to me, that's why I recommended running foam in there, creating that extra little bit of insulation. If your ice lasts longer, your ice machine hopefully lasts longer, and you don't have to spend so much time running around filling things up. That's my theory anyway.
Maybe I'll try it out. See, the thought on that is if I was to – I would have to fill the inside trash can up with water first, not ice water, but water, so that it doesn't the foam doesn't expand and decrease the internal volume. So if I filled it up with water and then pumped the foam into the outer trash can, then it would seem like it would work pretty easy.
Yeah, you have that weighted down, and then you would punch a hole, fill it up. I'm thinking out loud, man.
Yeah.
This is the athletic trainer, kind of like what was it, Tim the Toolman Taylor?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
this is kind of what that is, home improvement.
It works for me. I'll take
just try it out, man. What the heck?
All right, so maybe we'll try that out. Bill, I know Bill's listening, so maybe he'll remind me. Sad that he's a good bit older than me, but usually remembers things better, huh?
He comes from an age of ingenuity. We're and maybe not us so much, but I would say the generations behind us, they're very much push-button society. I push a button, I get a result. I push a button, I get a result. Whereas, you know, find guys like Bill, and I think of guys like Ruben Cantu down at A&M Kingsville, my old head athletic trainer. I think about him, and they just look at things, and they think outside the box, right? And they know how to fix things. They come from an age where you didn't throw it away. You
found another
use. You found a way to fix it.
Yeah. All right, so Nick Jones wants to know if you guys have any recommendations for carts that you haul behind a golf cart. Because personally, we stopped using those altogether because, like I said, it was tearing up the handles, or, you know, I don't know why, but we let kids do that. And so then they're driving and then slam on the brakes. So stuff slams into the other things and, you know, wheels come off because mm-hmm. they're being pulled faster than they should be pulled with, more weight than they should be pulled with. And so, you know, stuff just breaking. So we stopped pulling them behind the golf cart at all. So
yeah.
Do you have recommendations? I haven't tried the Blue Hawk one that I'm so high on behind the golf cart.
Now, Nick is speaking in general terms of just having something to put equipment in. Coolers
behind the golf cart.
Like if you're pulling, if you want to put your 10 gallons in a deal, or is he talking about an actual cart for a hydration unit? That's what I'm trying to.
We'll have to see. He'll probably answer here in a second. But
I guess pulling.
Let's go with the heavyweights. Let's go with what this thing or the tanker model.
Let's give him two answers here. All right. If you want a cart to pull your equipment, as far as you want to put 10 gallons in it and then have your kit, and you want to pull that down to the field so you could set that up, I would recommend a small trailer from Tractor Supply. Somewhere like that. Okay, a small trailer. If you're looking for a cart that is sturdy to a sturdy cart for your water systems, I mean, Vortex has a hell of a cart. I would say the Water Hog Company, they've got a solid, like almost roadworthy cart that they put their water stuff on. I know Frio Hydration, we're doing half-inch steel carts. They're going to be they're gonna be pretty dang solid. But then you got these, you know, other companies, they go for the lighter weight, but maybe not as as strong type carts. I recommend personally, I really like what you showed me on the Blue Hawk. And then I'm really going to like what we're going to offer you this summer from Frio Hydration, but obviously it's still under wraps there. What do you think, Casey? What do you got, man?
I've never had two good results pulling anything behind a golf cart, especially the flimsier carts like the Kramer one in the background that I have here, and I know everything about it. You hook it on the back of a golf cart, it gets very wobbly, and all you're going to do is start ripping things apart. I've never had one of the sturdier carts. That Blue Hawk looks pretty good, but I'd have to go play with it and see how I feel about it when I actually put my hands on it. But can't really help Nick out on that one.
You ever pulled something behind the cart and get that wave in action? Like you're going too fast, it's going back and forth, and all of a sudden you lay it down. I've laid down a cart in front of the whole band one time. I did it one time
and learned my lesson.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Then that now you got an empty water cow, you got to start all over.
And no telling what you just broke on it.
And hope you didn't break it. Yeah.
Yeah, so on that same note, I think Casey typed in here that kids tipping them over. And we have those carts that we put our trash cans in, so they're top heavy. And so we always tell them, fill them up with ice and then put water in them over there once you get them onto the field, because we have hoses pretty much everywhere. And so they still just can't figure it out. But you know what? I do it every now and then too, tipping that thing over.
You know what I tip over more than anything? You know those rolling ice chests that Gatorade gives us?
Mm-hmm.
Casey, I'm sure y'all got the Gatorade packages, sideline packages, and those rolling ice chests that they give you. For some reason, when you have it loaded and you're pulling the handle and it's behind you, I've seen this happen to multiple people, including myself, multiple times. Your back foot hits the cooler, it pops out of your hand, and ice goes everywhere. Yep. I know I'm not the only one. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, there we go. I don't know. I thought
I'm
about
6'3". I know all about it. I actually know Nick. He's almost 7 foot. I'm sure it's happened to him 100 times.
It's very frustrating.
All right. So, have you had any issues with Casey with the batteries leaking? Because you put batteries leaks, kids tipping over the cows. So.
Oh, not the batteries leaking. Just the general fixing leaks in the water cows. Batteries leaking. I would consider that a horrible day. The batteries themselves, the biggest problem is the cow gets left on, it sits overnight, they don't plug it in, it runs all night, and now your battery's so dead that it's really just, you got to replace the dang thing. So that's the biggest problem, and there's no way around that other than teaching your kids not to leave it on.
So let me go while you just said that. So I'm not sure why, but some of the chargers that we are given with the power systems are basically like a box that someone just kind of screwed some wire into and then attached the connector to the other end. And it's just absolutely terrible, because if you don't pull it just perfect, then you put tension on the wires that are coming out of the plug-in part, and it rips and they break. And so you spend half your time fixing the charger because it's not solid. Like, most of the chargers that we have are not solid one-piece things.
Okay.
Do you understand
what
I'm saying?
Are you familiar with what he's talking about here? Because I'm fairly clueless. I don't know.
So, you know, you have a positive and a negative. Uh-huh. And so there's the plug-in, and then I think it's called the transformer or whatever it is that changes the power from the 120 to whatever it needs for the motor.
Okay.
And so then coming out of there, it has a screw like a electrical outlet.
Is it a green box?
These are black, but it has the screws like an electrical outlet you're putting in the wall, or a switch you're putting in the wall.
Okay.
So it has a positive and negative there. And so,
yeah, no, here's my recommendation to that. I want to look at that before I get out of here today, see what you're talking about exactly. I know personally the ones that have come with Waterboy are those green box power float chargers. They're float chargers, and they have a great system that you can plug into alligator clips, or you can plug into those two little inserts that connect straight onto the battery terminals. It's interchangeable. I love those power float chargers, and I can't remember the name of them, what they are. Or Tractor Supply, deer feeder battery chargers. Matter of fact, deer feeder batteries are those sealed lead acid batteries are basically what will run your unit. Pay attention to the amp hours. Amp hours are how long it will run under load.
Right.
Gives you a decent idea. So if it says 7 amp hours, you can think that motor is going to run probably 5 amp hours under load. This is something that I've taught myself, and if anybody knows that I'm not telling the truth right now, you need to let me know, because I just learned this yesterday. I apologize if I'm wrong. Am I correct here? Am I saying
You're
that
good.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, amp hours, all that kind of stuff. But anyways, deer feeder batteries, and at Track Supply, they've got little float chargers that guys would use on their deer feeder batteries. I've had pretty decent luck with those. That I don't know what you're working with, but I know there's cheap ones out
there. Well, yeah, I mean, I basically just Googled it, and it came up with Monster Scooter parts. And so that was some of the chargers we replaced it. Because, you know, it's scooter batteries, whatever.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I just wasn't really pleased with that because it's still screw-in, and, you know, it's, you just have to constantly fix. And, you know, I enjoy fixing things, but I don't want to have to fix something all the time.
Okay. My buddy, he texted me, "What are you doing today?" And I gave him the link, so he tuned in. And he's actually an agriculture engineer. He's not an athletic trainer, but he's a very smart guy. He does a lot of ag shows. His name's Josh Rush. Good guy. Josh just texted me and he said, "Well, what about something to keep the battery from running all the way down? Because we know, well, with those batteries, if you run them down dead every single day and then go charge them full overnight, over time that actually wears the battery more than it should." So he brings this up. How do we keep a charge on it somewhat and keep from running it all the way down? I've got two things that we're working on at Frio Hydration. One of those being a system where you can see through LED lights how much your power is left, mm-hmm. and be able to change before you run completely dead. Or the second thing that we're looking at doing is actually solar panels on top, not to fully charge your batteries, but to maybe give them that extra boost that keeps them from running down so much. And your batteries last longer, and maybe you get a little bit longer, because nothing kills you more than being in the middle of practice. You got a dead battery.
He is dead. He's dead.
And there ain't no, the other batteries inside haven't been charged, and you know the scenario. Mm-hmm. So those are two things that we're looking at doing. And my buddy Josh brought up. I don't know if y'all have any other secrets, tips, and tricks there.
No, I mean, that would be battery health. Right now, it's just as long as it's pumping water, it's got juice. It's, you know, if it's not pumping any water, then it's not any juice. So, Casey.
I agree. As long as it's pumping water, you're doing okay. When it stops pumping water, if hopefully you're not in the middle of a sub-varsity football game or a soccer game, and hopefully you got a spare if you are in that situation.
Briefly, motors, those motors we've talked about, SureFlow, FlowJet, all those kind of motors, those 12-volt pumps, some of them have a heat kill switch. It mm-hmm. It'll kill the motor if the motor gets too hot. I know in some of ours, the motor gets hot because the sun's beating down on it and it's running. And I had a motor, the battery's charged, motor's not running, fuse is not blown. What's going on here? I took a bag of ice. I told the kids, "Make me a bag of ice." We set it on the motor, and no lie, in about a minute and a half, came back on running. They have a heat kill switch, so if for some reason they were running hot or running dry, it doesn't burn up the motor. That's just inside tips and tricks right there.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Things
put ice on it.
I would have never known. Put ice on it, right? Yeah. All right. So one of the things I see here that you guys wrote in was summer maintenance. So, I mean, obviously we've been talking about all the ways to fix things, but what about maintaining? Robbie talked about using, what was the name of that lubricant you said again, Robbie?
It was 4X Lube, I believe is the name of it. It's a soy-based lubricant.
And where have you bought it from?
Man, I bought it at Lowe's is where I bought it. I'm going to give my quick spiel on just what I think needs to be done in the summers. In the summers, we pretty much pull all the wheels off. We try to grease the hubs best possible. Out on the farm and ranch, you know, it'd be called, you know, packing the hubs on your trailer. Mm-hmm. We try to do that the best we can. These are meant to be disposable wheels. A lot of them are. They're not meant to be fixed. Once again, our generation, right?
Right.
You know, throw it away. Go buy a new one. The other thing that we do in the summer is we're going to run a bleach or whizzer solution through our motors and units before we set them up. The only thing is we use ours during strength and conditioning camp, so ours actually run just about full year round. And so we really don't have much downtime. It's actually maintenance on the go. Just taking care of those batteries, taking care of those pumps, making sure. And there's not really a whole lot of maintenance you do for that. Your batteries, I will say this, fully charged. Once they get fully charged, they can sit after a sitting period of time. And actually the instructions that come with the battery tell you this. You can put them back on a float charge to keep the battery full. Battery health, making sure maintaining that. And we usually replace batteries every year and a half, if not 2 years. We're going to go ahead and chunk them, whether they're good or bad, just because they're meant to be disposable. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing you can't fix. And greasing everything up, man. And if you got get some Rust-Oleum paint. If you got rust spots, go ahead and spray paint them. That'll help preserve the life of your cart. That's mine. That's what I have.
Casey?
I'm in the same situation as him with using it for summer conditioning stuff. So here in the next couple of weeks, I'll go through and clean all my stuff. Soap and water is generally the way I go about things. I'll squirt some hose in those connections, then run the water through it and let it bubble out for a few minutes till it stops, and I'll figure it's clean and go from there. As far as the greasing things up, if it's not squeaking, I'll add a little bit of WD-40 on the outside, but I won't do the major grease and stuff unless I have a good reason to.
All right, so one thing I'm definitely going to need to look into is Loctite for the bolts, and then I'm gonna need to look at grease in the wheels, because I'd never do it just because, like you said, they don't have grease fittings, and so I just think, oh well, whenever they bust, and you just go get new ones. So that's one thing I'm gonna have to look into. I'll see if I can get some of that grease and do all that stuff up. What about do you run anything through them? I know some of those guys recommend running solution through, like Whizzer Cleaner, or they have those tablets that Waterboy sells that you run through and leave in the hose to prevent mold or mildew or anything
like
that?
As much as ours run, I mean, we're using them every single day. There's hardly any time to actually sit there and run. But at the end of the big seasons, mm-hmm. you know, do it at Christmas break, do it at summer break, right before, we'll run either Whizzer or we'll run a bleach solution and run it through all the outlets. And we'll actually run them till they run dry, and then we put it up. That's all I got. I mean, there's recommendations for each unit, what they want you to do.
Casey?
I agree. He uses the bleach or the Whizzer. I use soap and water and run it through that way, and I don't let it run dry, but I'll let it run 5 to 10 minutes straight, and whatever I figure, it's just pumping straight water. Or if I drain it and make regular water flow through it again to rinse everything out, let it sit, and when we need it, it's ready to go again.
All right, so one of the things we do with so if we're looking at Robbie's chiller model, which is the normal model, if you're an athletic trainer, you know what that looks like. We'll actually disconnect all of those quick connect hoses on the outside. So we disconnect it from the cooler, from all the manifolds, let those drain, and we just kind of lay them down in the cart. And then that way, water's not just sitting and standing in those. We do that at the end of football season and then at the end of the school year. So
do you run yours all summer?
No, we don't do. They don't use ours. They may use. They have summer workouts, so they use one of our chillers. We have four, okay. So they use one of our chillers. So three of them we disassemble, partly because we don't want them using them and tearing them up. But the other one is just so that they have one, so that those kids can have some water when they're out here.
Okay.
Because we're not up here during the summer, and so we don't really want people using our stuff. Like we said earlier, they're not us, so they don't take care of our stuff like we take care of our stuff.
I get that. We're not up there in the summer as much. We have been in the past. This summer, maybe not so much. But we do have – they provide a summer, like, part-time job for some of our senior student trainers to mm-hmm. help the coaches at the camps. And so since our senior student trainers are up there, we feel safe letting them take out our stuff. So they get used every day. You know, I don't have to worry about them not getting put up correctly or taken care of because, you know, my seniors, hopefully.
That's a great idea. I wonder how we can get that working over here, because I would much rather have one of my students putting it up and taking it down.
And they make a little bit of money. It's a good summer program for our seniors. We usually have two of them work strength conditioning, and then for each, like basketball, baseball, so on and so forth, camp, they'll hire one student to be a first aid station, that type of deal. Pretty good deal for us. I mean, we know our stuff's in good hands, and then we come up and work if there's enough numbers for the camps as the professional ATs.
Gotcha. Very cool. That's a great idea. I'm going to have to look into seeing if that can happen here. All right, what else you got, Casey?
I got nothing on that. We're not up there over the summers. The coaches are up here, and generally they just use one, but they're welcome to use all of them. And it's only happened one year where something broke, and I just came in and fixed it for a two-a-day started. It wasn't that big of a deal. So far, so good. I guess when it's time for me to stop letting them use it because they start breaking too much stuff, then we'll get there when we get there.
Works for me.
I'm with them.
Yep. So, all right.
I fight a battle when there's no battle yet.
Yep. All right. So, Robbie, you got any, a 30-second commercial for Frio Hydration here before we close it out?
Frio Hydration. Coming this summer, we will actually have these units that we're talking about. You're looking at a prototype right now of our Rio meaning river. It's going to be our continuous flow unit. And then we have our Frio Hydration Lago, which is going to be our battery powered unit. Lago actually meaning lake. It's going to hold all the water right there. We've got a bunch of different sizes. The Highlight of Frio Hydration, and this is something that's available to athletic trainers, coaches right now. If you go to friohydration.com, these Brute coolers are for sale right now in stock. We can get these to you. We can also retrofit them to fit your water boy, to fit your Kramer unit, whatever you would like. That's something that we can do. If you just tell us what you got, we can work out a deal. And we're the only dealer for these coolers that offer a discount. And we've been given that special, what do you call it? That special license, I guess, to sell to coaches and athletic trainers at a discount. Nobody else can discount these coolers but us. And so if you're going to buy them, you got to go to friohydration.com and we'll hook you up. I promise. You will not be sorry. They got a 5-year warranty, man. There ain't nothing in the training room got a 5-year warranty.
All right, so real quick on these coolers. I just took kids camping last weekend. It was one of the coolest things, and I highly recommend if you work with student athletic trainers to take them on an out-of-town field trip. But we went camping, Guadalupe River State Park.
Awesome. Yes.
I have a tote that had food in it, and it had bungee cords over the top. Two sets of bungee cords. Come back, and there's a freaking raccoon pulled food out of there. All right, so you have to put your food in your car. But what about this cooler here? I'm wondering if it would keep the raccoons out.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to keep the raccoons out. You can put a lock on it, and you can keep the raccoons out, like coaches, players. If you've got stuff in there you don't want them to get, for instance, it's your Gatorades for after the game, not before. it'll keep raccoons out. I'm pretty dang sure of that.
All right, so if we go camping again, I'm going to have to make sure I...
Well, by that time, hopefully, we're taking care of you in the Sports Medicine blog, and we'll have you taken care of on that one.
All right, that'd be awesome. And so on that same note, I just had a good conversation with Greg Evans over at School Health, and we've kind of reached an agreement. They're going to be sponsoring the Sports Medicine broadcast as well, so they're going to be providing monthly... gift certificates to School Health. So once we get that up and running, I think it's going to be either June or July before we have that all squared away. But they're going to be giving away something each month, and then Greg's going to come on every 3 or 4 months or maybe 6 months, something like that, talk about what's new in the sports medicine product world. And they're also going to allow us to test products out. So he's got two products he's got in mind for me right now that he's going to send out to us. We're going to test it out, do a product review, and talk about that here so that we can bring the listeners to the Sports Medicine broadcast, the newer products, things that may help them improve their practice, and then we'll give you a chance to get a discount on those products from School Health. So pretty excited about that. And then, you know, obviously working with Robbie here, and I love Robbie. It's always fun to have
love
him on.
Love you too, man.
So,
can we just have a moment?
Also, one thing I didn't mention at the beginning is on Friday, we had a student die here on the trek. And so on Monday, I'm going to be doing a special edition of the podcast where I'm going to be telling the story. I'm going to be talking about my emotions and my feelings because both Bill and I were the caregivers, the primary caregivers there. We were doing CPR and using the AED and giving breaths until EMS arrived and took over. So just to help us to work through that. And then obviously everything we do here is to improve athletic training. And so on Monday, it'll be at 9 in the morning. We'll be working through that. So if you're listening live or if you're listening much later, whenever this is released, the audio version, just know that that is also out there, that's what has happened. And we're going to be working through that. So I just wanted to throw that out there and know that that's coming. So on that note, Bubba is going to be one of the guys that's coming. Dr. Josh Yellen has done CPR multiple times, and so they'll be able to talk with, share their experience and coping and dealing and moving forward and all that kind of stuff. So Bubba, definitely want to give him a shout out and a thanks for that. Now, actually, I met Robbie through GHATS, the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society. So GHATS is the one that sponsors the CEU opportunities. And, you know, I get Rob DeJohn there and Nick logging in pretty regularly to get those CEU opportunities because I always get that email saying they filled out the CEU course evaluation. I think it's a great way for those guys to improve their practice while they're working, getting those free CEU opportunities. So GHATS makes that available for us. So definitely a great shout out to GHATS. So my website, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Again, we'll have the show notes, the link to the show notes up there on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. It's got lots of pictures and videos from today's episode. And I don't think I actually have a a link to Frio Hydration, but we'll put that on there.
And we'll link you on our website, too. Right, make sure you get a tagline down there at the bottom.
Sweet. So, again, Frio Hydration, I'm pretty excited to see what's happening, and I really look forward to going camping without raccoons from boot coolers. So almost every single Wednesday, we'll be live. Now, starting in the summer, we won't be live because I won't be up here.
No, we'll be taking naps.
Enjoying
time off.
No, I have three young kids. There's always a time where one of them is awake. Ooh. So no naps. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. That being said, this summer I will be recording live, both recording the sessions and the interviews from the Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine update. So that'll be pretty cool. So we'll be able to have some episodes released during the summer. Just the live events will be much reduced during the summer. But I'll still be doing it. So. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, PHS Sports Med. What are you on Twitter, Robbie?
We're at Fight Finish Faith. That is my personal Twitter account, but it's all blasted with FrioHydration.com right now. And then we're actually FrioHydration on Instagram, and we have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/FrioHydration. You can hit us up there. Fixing to have some contests, some giveaway there, so probably wouldn't get in on that now.
All right. Casey, you have social media people can hit you up.
I do. I have a Twitter. It's at Carroll, CARROLLATH trainer.
All right. Say that for me. CARROLL.
ATH and then trainer.
H trainer.
All right. Ran out of letters.
All right. So at Carroll, ATH trainer. Got it. All right. So I'll just put that in the show notes.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Yes, sir.
Hey, were you there when they won state baseball?
That was the summer before I got here.
Okay, because they beat Klein that year. Still a sore subject, many people up there, but they actually beat Klein in the state game that year.
They won it in 2010, and I started just after that in 2010. Okay,
you started right when I came up here to Klein, so there you go.
Just switched.
Yeah.
All right, so again, I'm pretty excited about maybe trying to foam some of the newer products. Okay. And just all the different stuff we talked about today. So I'm going to have to go back and listen so I can remember because we went through a lot. I want to, again, thank Rob and Nick and Bill for joining us live. And I know that there's people that listen live without logging in, like your friend Josh and my beautiful wife listening live. So for Jeremy, Sports Medicine Kids, Casey Pyle down at Corpus Christi, Robbie McFarland here representing Frio Hydration and Klein High School, that's a wrap.